Listening post-test, computer. Page 171. The listening section of the test measures the ability to understand conversations and talks in English. While you are listening, pictures of the speakers or other information will be presented on your computer screen. There are two parts to the listening section, with special directions for each part. Question directions, Part A, page 172. In Part A of the listening section, you will hear short conversations between two people. In some of the conversations, each person speaks only once. In other conversations, one or both people speak more than once. Each conversation is followed by one question about it. Each question in this part has four answer choices. You should click on the best answer to each question. Answer the questions on the basis of what is stated or implied by the speakers. After you click on Next and confirm answer, the next question will be presented. Number one.
Are you ready to work on the history paper?
I will be in a couple of minutes. I have to finish the math problems before I start on history.
What does the man mean? Number two.
Do you know what time it is?
I just heard the clock strike noon.
What does the woman mean? Number three.
Why did the class move to a different room?
We couldn't get into our regular classroom. Someone lost the key to it.
What does the man mean? Number four.
Should we leave for class now?
But it's not time for class yet.
What does the woman mean? Number five.
I hope we don't have a quiz today. I'm not really very prepared on the material for today.
I don't think we will. This professor rarely, if ever, gives quizzes.
What does the man mean? Number six.
Is the rent check due on the first of the month?
It is, as far as I know.
What does the woman mean? Number seven.
Did your nieces and nephews like the gifts you got for them?
They couldn't have been more excited when they saw what I got.
What does the man say about his nieces and nephews? Number eight.
Have you been studying for long?
For hours, and I'm all worn out.
What does the woman mean? Number nine.
Did you go to the party last night?
If I had known about it, I would have.
What does the man say about the party? Number ten.
What are you doing during break next week?
I'll be staying at the beach with my family.
So you did decide to take the trip after all.
What did the man believe about the woman? Question directions, Part B, page 175. In Part B of the listening section, you will hear several longer conversations and talks. Each conversation or talk is followed by several questions. The conversations, talks, and questions will not be repeated. The conversations and talks are about a variety of topics. You do not need special knowledge of the topics to answer the questions. Rather, you should answer each question on the basis of what is stated or implied by the speakers in the conversations or talks. For most of the questions, you will need to click on the best of four possible answers. Some questions will have special directions. The special directions will appear in a box on the computer screen. After you click on Next and confirm answer, the next question will be presented. Questions 11 through 12.
I have a problem, and I hope you can help me out.
What's your problem?
I need to be absent from class on next Friday because I have a doctor's appointment, and I'll need to borrow someone's notes.
Well, you can certainly borrow mine, if you don't mind my messy handwriting.
Thanks very much. Notes in messy handwriting are much better than no notes at all.
Number 11. What problem does the man have? Number 12. What problem does the woman have? Questions 13 through 15.
Do you enjoy playing chess?
Yes, I really do.
Well, you might think about joining the chess club. I belong to it, and it's a lot of fun.
What does the chess club do?
The members get together once a week for friendly competitions. Then each semester, the three best players from the club compete in a tournament with players from other schools.
The meetings once a week sound like a lot of fun, but I don't think I'm ready to take part in a tournament against other schools.
Well, why don't you come with me this Wednesday and try out one of the weekly meetings? You can come to the meetings for a while and then see if you're ready to compete in a tournament in a few months.
Number 13. How often does the chess club meet? Number 14. How often are tournaments held? Number 15. Who competes in the tournaments? Questions 16 through 20. Listen to a lecture in a botany class. The professor is talking about leaf arrangements.
Today we're going to talk about phyllotaxy. Phyllotaxy is a scientific term that refers to the arrangement of leaves on the stem of a plant. On most plants, leaves are arranged in a definite pattern. It is very unusual for a plant to have randomly placed leaves. One of the main reasons leaves on a plant stem are arranged in an orderly way is to ensure that each leaf is exposed to the maximum amount of light with a minimum amount of interference from other leaves. The first type of leaf arrangement is the alternate arrangement. You can see this type of leaf arrangement in the diagram. In this type of leaf arrangement, there is only one leaf at each node, which is the spot where the leaf is attached to the stem. The next type of leaf arrangement is the opposite arrangement, which you can see in the diagram. In this type of leaf arrangement, there are two leaves at each node, and these two leaves are opposite each other on the stem. This type of leaf arrangement is not as common as the alternate arrangement, with one leaf at each node. The last type of leaf arrangement that we're going to look at is called the whorled leaf arrangement. This type of leaf arrangement is the least common of all. It is not as common as either the opposite or the alternate arrangement. In this type of arrangement, three or more leaves are attached to the stalk of the plant at the same node. In the diagram, you can see three leaves at the same node. It's also possible for there to be more than three leaves at the same node, and the leaf arrangement would still be considered a world arrangement. Now that we have looked at these three different types of leaf arrangements, I have an assignment for you. Your assignment is to visit the university's botanical garden. Were you aware that this university has quite an extensive botanical garden? In the botanical garden, there are examples of many different kinds of plants, and each plant is labeled with the name of the plant, as well as other information about the plant. For your assignment, you're to find three examples of each of these different types of leaf structures. Write down the names of the plants that have these leaf structures and turn in your lists on Friday. It will be quite easy for you to find examples of the alternate leaf structure because, as I said before, this is the most common type of leaf structure. It will be a bit more difficult to find examples of the opposite structure, but by far the most difficult leaf arrangement for you to find will be the world structure, because this leaf arrangement is so rare. You'll have to spend some time finding examples of the world leaf arrangement in our botanical garden. See you on Friday with your lists.
Number 16. The professor discusses three types of leaf arrangements. Match the type of leaf arrangement to its description. Number 17. Identify the node. Number 18. The professor describes how common these leaf arrangements are. Match the leaf arrangement to its description. Number 19. What does the professor say about the botanical garden? Number 20. How many examples do the students have to find for their assignment? Questions 21 through 25. Listen to a discussion from a geography class. The discussion is about the Great Salt Lake.
Today we're going to talk about two lakes, the Great Salt Lake and Lake Bonneville. Most people are quite familiar with the Great Salt Lake, but not everyone is quite as familiar with Lake Bonneville. First of all, let's look at a map that shows both the Great Salt Lake and Lake Bonneville. Now, Gwen, what can you tell me about the Great Salt Lake and Lake Bonneville?
Lake Bonneville was a lake during prehistoric times. The Great Salt Lake is the largest surviving remnant of the prehistoric Lake Bonneville.
Yes, and how old is Lake Bonneville?
Lake Bonneville came into existence 1 million years ago.
And how big was it?
It was an enormous lake that covered about 20,000 square miles.
Gwen has explained that the Great Salt Lake is a small remnant of Lake Bonneville, and that Lake Bonneville was 20,000 square miles in size. Now, Nick, just how big is the Great Salt Lake?
The present Great Salt Lake is much smaller than Lake Bonneville was. The Great Salt Lake covers about 1,700 square miles. This seems like a rather large lake today, but it is much smaller than the lake that preceded it.
Exactly. The Great Salt Lake is much smaller than Lake Bonneville, less than 10% of the size of Lake Bonneville, in fact. And there is another big difference between the two lakes, besides the size. It has to do with the water. Can you tell me how the water in the Great Salt Lake differs from the water in Lake Bonneville, Pat?
A big difference between Lake Bonneville and the Great Salt Lake is that Lake Bonneville was a freshwater lake, while the Great Salt Lake, as you can tell from its name, is a saltwater lake.
Exactly. Now let's look at the reasons why this lake has become a saltwater lake and, in fact, has water much saltier than ocean water. And what is it that makes the Great Salt Lake so salty, Gwen?
What makes the Great Salt Lake so salty is that it has no outlet. Three rivers feed into it: the Bear River, the Weber River, and the Jordan River. These rivers carry 1 million tons of minerals and salts into the Great Salt Lake each year.
And what about these three rivers, the Bear River, the Weber River, and the Jordan River? Nick?
These rivers feed into the Great Salt Lake. They don't provide any outlet from the lake.
And how does this make the lake so salty? Pat?
There's no way for these minerals and salts to exit from the lake because the lake has no outlet. The water that flows into the lake from these three rivers evaporates and leaves the salts.
And how much salt is there in the lake today?
Over the lifetime of the lake, 6 billion tons of salts have built up. That's why the Great Salt Lake has a much higher salt content than the oceans.
Excellent. You seem to understand the important points about the Great Salt Lake and Lake Bonneville. Now let's move on to another topic.
Number 21. When did Lake Bonneville come into existence? Number 22. How does the Great Salt Lake compare in size to Lake Bonneville? Number 23. What is stated in the lecture about the water in the two lakes? Number 24. In which direction does the water in the rivers flow? Number 25. How much salt is built up in the Great Salt Lake? Questions 26 through 30. Listen to a lecture in an American history class. The professor is talking about Hawaii.
Today, we're going to talk about the last monarch to rule in the land that today makes up the United States. This last monarch was a queen. She was Queen Liliuokalani of Hawaii. To understand Queen Liliuokalani's situation, I'm going to give you some background about the history of Hawaii before I discuss Queen Liliuokalani. The two people I'd like to discuss to help you to understand Queen Liliuokalani's situation are Captain James Cook and King Kamehameha. Captain James Cook arrived in the Hawaiian Islands in 1778. And gave the islands the name Sandwich Islands in honor of a British nobleman, the Earl of Sandwich. When Captain Cook arrived in the islands near the end of the 18th century, various islands in the chain were under the control of different native kings. The next person we're going to look at is King Kamehameha. Kamehameha spent almost 30 years uniting the Hawaiian Islands under one ruler, and by 1810, a few decades after Captain Cook's arrival, all of the islands were united under one king, King Kamehameha. King Kamehameha was the first ruler to reign over all of the islands together. He ruled over all the islands until 1819. A number of other kings of the Hawaiian Islands followed Kamehameha during the 19th century. Now we'll discuss Queen Liliuokalani, the last monarch of Hawaii. Liliuokalani became queen after her brother, King Kalakaua, died in 1891. Liliuokalani was the first and only female monarch to rule the Hawaiian Islands, and she was the final monarch of Hawaii. Liliuokalani became queen during a period when a large percentage of the population believed that it was better to have a democratic government than a monarchy. Liliuokalani refused to consider ending the monarchy, and also refused to consider limiting the power of the monarchy and initiating a democratic government. In 1893, 2 years after she became queen, she developed a constitution granting complete power to the monarch. At that point, she was removed from the monarchy. Over the next few years, there were a number of plots to try to reinstitute the monarchy. By 1898, Liliuokalani had renounced her claim to the royal throne of Hawaii. She received a pension from the government and returned to her royal estates, where she lived out her life for the next 20 years with the title of queen, but without the authority as the last monarch of the Hawaiian Islands. I know that the Hawaiian names are a bit difficult to remember, but I hope you understand the important main points, that it was King Kamehameha who unified the Hawaiian Islands under one monarch, and it was Queen Liliuokalani who was the final monarch of the Hawaiian Islands. That's all for today.
Number 26. When did each person live? Number 27. What does the professor say about James Cook? Number 28. The professor explains a series of events. Put the events in order. Number 29. What did Liliuokalani believe, according to the professor? Number 30. Which of the following did not happen to Liliuokalani? The program continues on the next cassette.